You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, it's good Monday, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Vols. It's your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On Vols is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You can go online to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. I'm Eric Kane, the show host here of Locked On Vols. You can find me on Twitter at _ Kane or in the show at Locked On Vols. I'm a radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee, a morning show producer on the Sports Animal, and contributes on various other shows throughout the day. And the Tennessee football beat reporter, I contribute to the VolQuest.com website. That's the Tennessee Rivals site covering Tennessee football recruiting. So I do a couple of different things here in this market, but one of the more enjoyable things I do here in this market is host Locked On Vols. So I'm happy to start a new week with you guys, and it should be a fun show here today. We're going to take a day break in our football mini-series. So we've been talking defensive side of the football, introducing you, playing some audio of Tim Banks, Mike Eckler, Rodney Gardner, and we will continue that on and let you get to know Brian Jean-Marie and Willie Martinez here starting tomorrow and Wednesday. But here on a Monday show, it's going to be all hoops. Obviously, Tennessee just wrapped up play in the SEC tournament, went to the semifinal round on a Saturday and held a double-digit lead to Alabama, who went on to win the SEC tournament to conclude a regular season championship as well. But we'll kind of recap exactly what went on there. And obviously, Selection Sunday was yesterday, and we're going to talk about Tennessee's pit into the field in the Midwest region and the first-round matchup against Oregon State. So a lot of hoops talk here today. Josh Ward will stop by the podcast as we recorded a quick little interview at about 6:30, 6:35 Sunday evening. As soon as Tennessee was announced as a tournament team, we jumped on the Zoom and recorded a quick little hit. And we just wanted to do a little instant reaction. I'm going to play that for you here in segment number two. So heavy hoops talk. We'll get back to the football mini-series on Tuesday. But that is the show rundown here for a Monday on Locked On Vols. Let's buckle up and get down to it. This is a Monday Locked On Vols. So Tennessee, a 5-seed in the NCAA tournament, will take on the 12-seeded Oregon State Beavers. So Tennessee, it's a 5-12 matchup. A lot of times you dread that 5-12 matchup, and I'll tell you why Tennessee shouldn't dread this 5-12 matchup. And this isn't to say Tennessee's going to run away. Tennessee's going to run away with it. No, I don't think Tennessee will, but Tennessee's opening up as a heavy favorite already on most sports books, including betonline.ag. You should go check that out at BetOnline, proud sponsors here of Locked On Vols and Locked On Podcast Network. But Tennessee, a heavy betting favorite early on, but I'm not saying Tennessee's going to run away with this ball game. What I'm saying is, you know, Oregon State doesn't light up the gym offensively. And we know Tennessee doesn't light up the gym offensively. It has in spurts this season, as has Oregon State. But Oregon State kind of plays kind of like Tennessee, prides itself on defense. Now, Oregon State has the momentum going right now, had to play itself into the tournament, and it did by taking down Colorado to win the Pac-12 tournament championship on Saturday night. You look at some of the teams that it's beat, you know, the Pac-12 is not really that great this year in terms of men's basketball. Played Oregon three times, beat Oregon twice, including Friday nights in the tournament action. Had a win over Utah, had a couple wins over California, obviously, but, you know, USC, it beat USC, it split with USC when it played USC in the span of 9 days back in January. But nonetheless, you know, Pac-12 wasn't that deep and wasn't that good, to be quite frank, in basketball this year. And so it wasn't a strong conference. Oregon State is not a strong team, but it had to reel off a lot of wins in order to make the field of play. Oregon State was picked, I believe, last. I believe preseason-wise, Oregon State was picked to finish last in the Pac-12. And, you know, finished the season with a 17-12 record, 10-10 in conference play. Yeah, 17-12, 10-10 in conference play. Won three straight at the end of the year. Of course, that was in the tournament play. Played well at home, 10-6. Played well in neutral sites, 3-0, and that's big because, of course, This entire tournament's going to be held in the Indianapolis area, which would be a neutral site. But Oregon State wasn't, there wasn't a lot of praise for the Beavers coming into the season. Now, that's completely opposite for the Tennessee Volunteers. A lot of people were saying, could be a Final Four team, could be a Final Four team. I was never going to say it could be a Final Four team because tournament basketball is all about matchups. It's all about getting the breaks. We've heard Mike Wilson, we've heard Ron Slay talk about that here on this podcast the last couple weeks. It's just so difficult to predict when you get into tournament play. But Tennessee was, you know, hype coming into the season. Top 10 preseason team. Went as high as number 6 in all the country at one point in time this season. Just recently fell out of the top 25 after consecutive weeks there throughout the entire season. But I think Tennessee's responded well. Had 2 wins against Florida in the span of a week. Overcame some poor officiating at times in this tournament action. And was able to put forth some good basketball. Yeah, and we'll talk more about this in segment number 3. But yeah, sure, Tennessee blew, you know, choked it away. Blew a chance to win against Alabama. And I get that. I mean, Tennessee led comfortably that entire game. And when it came down to it, allowed Alabama to get back in the ballgame because of turnovers. And they didn't take advantage of it down the stretch. Alabama goes on and wins the SEC tournament. I saw the script. I watched the games. I get it. But nonetheless, Tennessee is playing a little bit more encouraging basketball. I think the week off before playing Florida, and I think the entire week off before playing the Gators again in the double bye round of the SEC tournament did so much for Tennessee in terms of, you know, just resting physically, preparing mentally, and just getting some confidence back. I think it was huge. John Fulkerson's going to be a big question mark down the line. He was with the team over the weekend. Of course, went back to Knoxville on Sunday. Had a minor procedure done. He had a face fracture and a concussion. He was knocked out. Literally, he was knocked out of the SEC tournament Friday. Omari Payne had got him, clocked him with a couple elbows, which... it was just a dirty play. It was dirty as hell. That's what I tweeted. That's what I'll say here on this podcast. It was dirty as hell. But seeing the way John Fulkerson responded to it, asking Tennessee fans to have grace, show grace, seeing Payne come out and issue an apology, reaching out to John Fulkerson, I thought that was really great to see. Everybody makes mistakes. Lord knows I have many, many mistakes, and I will continue to make mistakes, but that was a dirty play. It is what it is. And so the health of John Fulkerson moving forward is going to be huge. And we'll have to see exactly what his availability will be this time, this weekend, for the first round. But it's Tennessee, a 5-12 matchup against Oregon State. Oregon State offense kind of runs through guards, Jerrod Lucas, Ethan Thompson. But again, as I mentioned, this team does not score a lot. This team is not lighting up the gym offensively whatsoever. So we will continue to break down this team and this region the more we get through this week leading up to Tennessee's first matchup. We do not have the time and the actual location of said game, but it does list this game as a Friday. But again, the opening rounds will be Friday, Saturday, Monday, or Sunday, Monday. And so it could slide to Saturday. I believe it's going to be Friday, but it's kind of weird this year. It's all in one location, one locale, and there's a lot of question marks because of all this COVID stuff. And so we'll have to see exactly where Tennessee will be playing and what time. But Tennessee will square off against Oregon State, the Beavers, who just won the Pac-12 championship Saturday evening. So looking forward to breaking down that matchup each and every day here on this Locked On Vols podcast. And before we get to Josh Ward here at segment number 2, want to touch base on some of our favorite sponsors here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and specifically here on Locked On Vols, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence in the bedroom for you guys. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable forms and at a fraction of the cost. Chewable tablets combat all forms of ED. It can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is online prescribed. It's a prescription service online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in the line of the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package, all right? The process is simple. All you have to do is sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive the prescription within days. The best part, again, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Blue Chew's bringing confidence back into the bedroom, guys. If you're struggling with ED, Give Blue Chew a try. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the United States, and they're prepared, shipped directly to your doorstep, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Blue Chew, try it for free. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and just pay the shipping, which is $5. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month's free, and we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Bet online, fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. It is the most exciting time of the year for majority of sports fans. And if you're a sports gambler, well, you are in heaven, my friend, because we're going to have games going on all day long from Thursday morning or from Friday morning all the way through Monday night. It's the first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament. And it's right here. And you can get in on that action. You can win. You can put your sports knowledge to use at BetOnline. If you're not into the sports, which if you're listening to this podcast, I know you are. But as you guys know, maybe your wives, maybe your friends are into the award shows, the television shows, the reality shows. BetOnline even has that covered. But it's real-time updated odds and props and almost anything you can possibly imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's completely free to sign up. Head on over to the website. Use the mobile device as well. To sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline. You can check them out on Twitter as well. Earn some extra cash. Have fun watching the games and make some coin on top of it. All week long. It's March Madness. March Madness. And it can be just totally maddening how much money you can win at BetOnline. Promo code LOCKEDON, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We got Josh Ward coming up here in just a second. But before Josh, March Madness, it's here, and that means bracket challenges. Join our Locked On Listener Bracket Challenge group on ESPN. You can submit your March Madness picks, beat your favorite hosts, and if you win, you'll get a guest appearance on the Locked On Today podcast. That's our daily brand new podcast here on the network. The link to join is in the show notes of this episode. Get your picks in today and join the madness that is of March Madness. Well, welcome back to the show. Josh Ward, former host here of Locked On Vols, and we are going to react. Full disclosure, this is about 6:30 on Sunday night and just moments after Tennessee was announced in the tournament field of play. So, Josh, Tennessee, a 5 seed in the Midwest region, will take on the 12 seed Oregon State. That game will come on Friday. Initial thoughts on the opening matchup, and then as you look throughout the rest of that region.
Yeah, I think overall it's a reasonable draw for Tennessee. I know that an instant reaction from Tennessee fans can include, 5-12, the dreaded 5-12 matchup with the possibility of an upset. The truth is you could be upset anywhere, and Tennessee was not going to be in a seed taking on an opponent that couldn't upset Tennessee. But the Vols are going to open up as pretty big favorites in this game against an Oregon State team that had to win the Pac-12 tournament to get into the tournament. You can look at that one of two ways. You can say, well, Oregon State, a team that had to win or it wasn't even going to be in. Or you could say, well, they were able to win, so they're playing better basketball here recently. And I think both apply. We're going to spend a lot of time this week talking about Tennessee and if it does what it's capable of. I thought the last week that Tennessee played was encouraging. Then Tennessee has a shot here. If Tennessee does advance, it will likely take on Oklahoma State. And that's a team that could scare you a little bit as well. They've been playing good basketball here down the stretch with impressive wins twice in a week against West Virginia and then knocking off Baylor. That says something. And Cade Cunningham is going to be the number one pick most likely in the NBA draft, but it's not a perfect team. And I think arguably overseeded. So I think it's a pretty good draw for Tennessee. It's not easy, but Tennessee was not going to be in an easy opening weekend draw.
Josh, I don't expect you to be an expert on Oregon State basketball, but just kind of looking at the roster, it's kind of guard heavy like Tennessee. You got Jared Lucas, you've got Ethan Thompson. The offense kind of flows through those guys, but it's much like Tennessee in the sense that it's not flashy offensively. I think it'll be a dogfight to get the 60 potentially in this game. It's only been it was not heavily favored coming into the season. You mentioned it had to win the tournament just to make the field of play. But, you know, overall, when you kind of look at this Beavers team, it does have a lot of momentum. And Tennessee does a little bit as well, despite coming up short against Alabama, held a double-digit lead in that game on Saturday before being bounced and, of course, beat Florida twice in the span of 7 days. But it looks like two teams that are feeling themselves a little bit coming into the tournament, and that's kind of where you want to be. Of course, you know, Tennessee might be without John Fulkerson with that facial fracture for who knows how long, but both these teams kind of feeling better about themselves entering the tournament play.
Yeah, and I think Oregon State is a team that it's going to look at Tennessee on film and have one clear priority, and that's going to be to take the basketball away. Tennessee had turnover issues again against Alabama, and that was probably the ultimate deciding factor in Tennessee not being able to hold on to its win against the Tide. Oregon State has been pretty good in turnover percentage this season. So if you look at some of the numbers with Oregon State, not much is going to impress you. The Beavers are pretty good offensively. KenPom has Oregon State ranked ahead of Tennessee in offensive efficiency, but part of that's because Tennessee hasn't been very good on that end of the floor. But forcing takeaways and trying to create scoring opportunities, both teams are going to look at this matchup and say, if we can do that, we're probably going to win the game. And that's especially the case for Tennessee. The numbers this year show if Tennessee can force turnovers on defense at a high rate, they just win because that creates easier scoring opportunities with the athletes that Tennessee has. But the Vols have had a difficult time taking care of the basketball. Oregon State's done a good job of taking it away, and that'll be a big focus, I'm sure, for what they try to do. But this is a team that they, they're ranked in the 80s, I think, by KenPom. They're not a very good team, and this is one that Tennessee should win if it does what it's supposed to on Friday.
So Tennessee does what it's supposed to do on Friday. It will move on and play the winner of Oklahoma State Liberty. You mentioned Oklahoma State just moments ago and the challenges that would face there. But if Tennessee again takes care of business, plays to its potential, wins that game, you're likely looking at a 5-1 matchup in the Sweet 16 against the number one seed in this region here in the Midwest in Illinois. It depends on the day when you want to talk about Tennessee basketball, because it's been so hot, hot, cold, up, down. But, realistically, looking at this region, all the way at least to the Sweet 16, I mean, Tennessee basketball, your thoughts on the matchups, maybe even facing off against Illinois there in the Sweet 16 and just seeing how realistically this team can go.
Yeah, that'd be really hard. What I think would give you confidence is that Tennessee at its best is a team that looks like it can play with just about anybody. But I don't know that I don't know that Tennessee's played too many games against teams that are at that level. I would probably argue it's happened twice against Alabama. And, there are teams that are playing at a high level, like Kansas has played at a high level, not when the Jayhawks came to Knoxville to face the Vols. And Arkansas is a solid team. LSU's a solid team. They're not Illinois. Illinois is really good in the backcourt. They have talent in the post that would be a really difficult matchup for Tennessee and just about everybody when you look at Kofi Cockburn. So it would be difficult, and Illinois would be favored against Tennessee, rightfully so. But everything that we say about Tennessee when it's at its best would give Tennessee a shot to beat Illinois. They would have plenty of time to get ready for that game if Tennessee is able to make it to the Sweet 16. Also, if Tennessee makes it out of the first weekend, while the opponents are not daunting, Tennessee's still going to have to play pretty well to get there. Yeah. So if Tennessee reels off back-to-back wins, then a week from now, we'll be talking about Tennessee playing pretty good basketball heading into the Sweet 16.
How big of a loss will John Fulkerson be if he's not able to go this weekend?
Well, I think a pretty big loss for a couple of reasons. One, he's a veteran who's played a lot, and you'll love to have him on the floor this time of year. That's a pretty obvious one, right? Also, it does create questions about what your rotation will be. And I'll be curious to see what we find out about what Tennessee might do in that department this week. We saw Urosh this past weekend, and I think a lot of us were surprised to see him play as much as he did against Alabama. So what would be the rotation plan? You want as many bodies as you can have because guys can get tired this time of year. The Vols they have a good amount of depth, but the deeper you go, I think the more questionable it gets for Tennessee. And then, Fulkerson, when he's playing really well, which he did, I think before, he suffered what happened against Florida, there were signs that, hey, he was playing at a better level for Tennessee and could be effective. So you also, I mentioned everything else before I even get to his potential playmaking on offense. So yeah, they want him out there. They need him out there. And if John Fulkerson's not there, he's a loss. He provides some inspiration, I think, either way for his teammates.
And lastly, Josh, I'm going to flip the script completely away from basketball. Now we're doing instant reactions here to Tennessee in the tournament field, a 5 seed in the Midwest region, and we'll take on Oregon State on Friday. But unfortunately, a sombering football note came out there in the news dump on Friday afternoon. It looks like Tennessee has a couple of players that have been suspended indefinitely because of an incident in the dormitories where they broke in and did some illegal things. Nonetheless, not the greatest first step and the impressions, rather, for those players who were involved in it for head coach Josh Heupel on a team that is already struggling with numbers, specifically in certain positions, and with spring practice just right around the corner.
Yeah, not good. That's not what you want to see if you're Josh Heupel. And we need to learn more about the story and how deep it goes into what actually happened with the incident with the players. But when you're talking about potentially impactful players on your team, I mean, how many times on this podcast, Eric, have we talked about Aaron Willis and the importance mm-hmm. of him? And, you know, he's a young player, he's a young person. So, you know, mistakes are going to be made, but you don't want to see this. And again, we need to know more about the story and the incident, what actually happened with the notice that was sent out by the University of Tennessee in the middle of last week. But these are guys that are going to have a chance to help Tennessee immediately, especially there at linebacker with French. He's a second-year player. And then Aaron Willis. And then Isaac Washington's a guy that the previous staff fought long and hard to keep him committed to Tennessee on the defensive line. So just not good. And you know, a lot of what Josh Heupel's been trying to do is focus on team building and relationships and connecting with players. And this is a little bit of a hurdle to try to continue that moving forward. You can't have these kinds of incidents. You can't have these kinds of distractions as you're trying to get things going in a positive way, considering the program's dealt with so much negativity.
Josh Ward, if you're in the Knoxville area or really wherever, you can download that app, listen online, Sports 180 on the Sports Animal every weekday, 12 to 3 Eastern time. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, good to be on. Thanks, Eric.
I really appreciate Josh Ward for jumping on the podcast for some instant reaction when we recorded that segment of the show yesterday after Tennessee was announced in the field. And we're talking all things Tennessee Vols and March Madness. And so that leads me into the Built Bar spot here for today. And it's the same thing. It's Built Bar Madness. There's a bracket at BuiltBar.com. We've been voting on it the past couple of weeks to see which Built Bar will reign supreme at the end of this thing. You know, we all know about Built Bar now. It's low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, amazing tasting protein bars with 100% chocolate on every single one of those bars. Today's matchup, guys, here on March the 15th of the Monday, it's going to be Mint Brownie going up against Toffee Almond. Toffee Almond against Mint Brownie. I prefer the Mint Brownie. That's going to get my choice, but what say you? Head on over, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 50% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. You can also check it out on Twitter at Built_Bar. You can check back to see who won today's matchup and who will be becoming the best tasting protein bar before it's all said and done. It's Built Bar Madness at BuiltBar.com. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host the Locked On Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the National Football League. Get your picks, previews, and much, much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. So welcome you back into a final segment of a Monday Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane, at _Kaner on Twitter, and at Locked On Vols. Don't forget, everybody, Twitter Tuesday is coming up. Twitter Tuesday is coming up. I forgot to mention that earlier in the show, but get your questions in. DM your questions about Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball. Tweet at me, DM me, at _Kaner, at Locked On Vols, whichever way you want to do that. But Twitter Tuesday will be tomorrow. So we're moving on, continuing on this conversation with Tennessee football. We'll get back to the defensive staff miniseries, second part of Tuesday's show. But Tennessee basketball beat up on Florida twice in the span of about 6 days. Took down Florida 65-54 on last Sunday, and then on Friday took down the Gators again 78-66. Trey Mann came back and played in that ball game for Florida on Friday. But obviously the big takeaway was, you know, takeaway for this tournament, outside of Tennessee blowing a double-digit lead against Alabama, who went on to win the tournament, is John Fulkerson. Facial fracture, concussion, and they showed him up close about 20 times during that Alabama game in the semifinal round of the SEC tournament. He had the earplugs in. He was laying down. A lot of times when you're concussed, I've had a few myself, you don't need to be around bright lights, loud noises, all that type of stuff. But the fact that he was there in the arena, and I know there wasn't a ton of fans there to begin with, but the fact that he was there in the arena makes me believe from a concussion standpoint, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. But obviously a facial fracture, that did not look good at all. And those two guys were jostling down low, Amari Payne and John Fulkerson trying to get position. And I mean, you know, I'm all for playing rough. I'm all for, you know, getting under each other's skin. I mean, that's part of being competitive. That's part of sports. But that first elbow was uncalled for, and the fact that he reached back around and got him with the back bow, God, that was hard to watch. And you see Fulkerson's face, and he's just kind of jarred, and then it just hits the ground. It was ugly. It was disgusting. And John Fulkerson was playing good basketball. He really was, and he played great basketball against Florida 5 days before that, and he was playing great basketball again. And so Payne got ejected from the ball game, as he should have. Fulkerson had to miss the rest of the tournament, which was the rest of that game, and then that next game against Alabama on Saturday. But ultimately, TBD. We'll have to see how John Fulkerson is. Some rumblings around Knoxville over the weekend might not be available for this upcoming weekend, but those are just rumblings. You know, certainly nothing that's reportable, so we'll have to see. I mentioned earlier he went back for according to the Tennessee basketball Twitter account, he went back to Nashville or to Knoxville, underwent a small procedure, and has rejoined his team in Nashville by Sunday night, and so that's good. But we'll have to see about the availability of John Fulkerson. And as Josh pointed out earlier, I mean, he's an older guy that's played a lot of basketball, that's got experience. He's a smart player, and you need so much of that in tournament play. I think Tennessee overall is, you know, fine without him. Now, could Tennessee be better with him? Absolutely. But, you know, Tennessee is not going to be just horrible without him. You saw Tennessee play very well against Alabama at points and times over the weekend. So you hope that John Fulkerson can get back, can play, put on maybe that face mask, that ugly, who was it that used to wear that? Was it Richard Hamilton with Detroit Pistons? He used to wear that face mask. Oh, I never liked that at all. But maybe John Fulkerson can wear one of those and can get back. Didn't he have to wear one of those earlier in his career? Am I dreaming that, guys? Hit me up, @_Kaner. I feel like John Fulkerson earlier in his career had to wear one of those for like 2 weeks. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But I really feel like John Fulkerson had to wear. Maybe it was somebody else. I don't know. Nonetheless, you hope that he can get one of those masks on and come back and play. You hope that he's feeling better, because that was a dirty play. There's no place for it. He was ejected out of the ball game, that being Payne. But I liked the response for John Fulkerson, asking fans and everybody alike to show some grace. if I was in that position, I mean, he's a better man than I am. You know, that's for sure. In regards to humility, because I don't know if I'd be saying that, but and the response from Payne reaching out to him and you know, trying to make up for what he did. Nothing was going to make up for it, but at least showing remorse and trying to move on. I think that those two guys handled it the best they possibly could. But Tennessee's going to be needing John Fulkerson down the line. Again, Oregon State, that's coming up on Friday. That'll be the first-round matchup. If you win there, potentially a second-round matchup against Oklahoma State. So it's going to be a big showdown. But Tennessee looked good against Florida. Tennessee looked good against Alabama. Went on a couple different scoring runs. That was good. But turnovers were the issue against Alabama. No doubt about it. Tennessee turned the basketball over way too many times. And that is just, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to win many ball games when you're turning over the basketball as many times as Tennessee did. And so, you know, Alabama was able to get 14 points off turnovers for Tennessee. You know, Tennessee turned the ball over 19 times. That's not great. And then, of course, you have the Devontae Gaines situation there at the end. When Rick Barnes put in Devontae Gaines to get a defensive stop, he tied up Herb Jones, did a great job. Then he gets fouled. And then you go to the other end when you're sitting on the bench for 2+ hours, then you have to come in and make these free throws. He was not put in the game to go make free throws, okay? He was put in the game to play lockdown defense, which he did. He got his job done. Then he gets fouled. You go to the other end. It's tough. You got to make one of those free throws. You just got to. I'm not going to crush the kid, because no one else feels worse than he does. And I love the fact that his teammates came and had his back. Uros Plofcic, which, by the way, played some incredible minutes. And some incredible minutes. Played well, too. So shout out to Uros Plofcic. He's not a good defender, but you know, played pretty well when asked upon this weekend. So yeah, he was one of the guys that had his back. So we'll see how Devontae Gaines responds. But one of the better defenders on the team gives everything he has when he's put into the ball game. I hated to see that for him, but man, you got to hit one of those free throws. So we'll see how he responds. But ultimately, my point is Tennessee played encouraging basketball this weekend. They really did. Tennessee played encouraging basketball this weekend, and you hope that if you take care of the basketball, Oregon State takes care of the basketball offensively. They don't really create a lot of turnovers defensively, but you know, Tennessee's just been giving away the ball here lately. Got to take care of the basketball and see what comes of it. So I thought Tennessee played encouraging basketball the last couple of days, and some reason for optimism. Yeah, you can be frustrated. Tennessee blew that lead to the team that went on to win the SEC tournament title. Of course, you can be mad about that. That's fine. But I think you can be encouraged the way Tennessee played, responded, and kind of showed out at times during this SEC tournament, albeit had the double bye, had one win, and then was bounced on a Saturday. A heavy basketball show here on a Monday, Twitter Tuesday, coming back to the show. That will be tomorrow. Tweet DM me _Kaner @LockedOnVols all of your questions. We will answer them on tomorrow's show for a Twitter Tuesday. Josh Ward, appreciate it. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out and talking some hoops with us. We'll continue to talk Tennessee basketball as we make ourselves throughout the rest of the week. We'll get back on the defensive staff miniseries tomorrow as well. A whole lot to get into here on another new week. It's Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network.